Good morning. This morning's Bible reading is from the book of Luke, and it is chapter 15, starting at verse 11. And you can find it in the Black Pew Bibles on page 1035. The parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men." So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found."
I want to have a very serious talk with you this morning about the company you've been keeping. It's serious because I think the problem is most of you, the company you have been keeping has been too respectable. This is the context in which Luke 15 takes place. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were murmuring to Jesus and wanted to have a serious talk with him about the company he was keeping. Their problem was the company he was keeping was the riffraff, as far as they were concerned. He was mixing with sinners and tax collectors. They chose to only mix with people exactly like themselves, Pharisees, teachers of the law, self-righteous people, the religious elite, if you like, of the country. And Jesus had a problem according to them. They had a problem according to Jesus in that they really didn't understand what he was on about. So he told them three parables to try and illustrate why he was talking to whom he was talking. And these are the three stories. First one was a story of a man that had 100 sheep. He loses one. He leaves the 99 and goes searching for the one. You and I might think that's a funny thing. You've lost one out of 100. Why would you bother with one? But he gets that one lost sheep and he puts it on his shoulders and he goes home and he calls his neighbours in for a drink and says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost." The second story was of a woman who had 10 silver coins. She may well have had them in her headdress of her, and they were her dowry. Anyway, one coin is lost. She lives in a modest home with an earthenware floor and no electricity, no torches. So what does she do? She sweeps her house looking for the lost coin. She searches until she finds it, and when she finds it, she too calls her neighbours and invites them to rejoice with her. If you've ever lost anything in your house and found it again, you might know something of that. My family know that I'm famous for losing wallets, keys, and occasional sundry other things, and a search is called until we find it. And we go through that rigmarole. Where was the last place you remember having it? Have you looked here? Have you lifted something up? Have you had a man look? All that kind of thing. And eventually, we locate the missing wallet or keys. It has never, ever occurred to me to go and knock on my neighbour's door and say to them, "Come round. We're having a Ken's found his wallet party and we want you to come. Ken has found his wallet. We want you to rejoice." The rejoicing is much more muted. It's very, on the inside for me, it's very great, particularly if it was the wallet. The third story is a story of a man who had two sons. The younger one decides to leave home earlier than perhaps he might have, and he asks his father for his share of the inheritance. Now, being the younger son, he's not entitled to all that much. Don't think he was asking his old man to divide everything in two, because there were two of them. He probably would have been fortunate to get a third of it, because the Jews were pretty canny and they thought if they keep dividing the wealth every time, there'll be nothing left. So they made sure the elder brother had the lion's share of it, but it was his responsibility to look after the rest of his family with the bit that he had. Anyway, this young fellow takes off with his one third and blows the lot. You've all heard sermons on this story before. He blows the lot in wild living, hits rock bottom, and returns home to beg his father for at least a bed and a decent meal with the servants. He discovers to his delight that his waiting father is ready to forgive and to forget. The relationship is restored and a celebration party gets into full swing as the neighbours are invited this time. "Come and rejoice with me. My son, who I thought was dead, is alive and well, and we're having a party. I thought he was lost." What do you think Jesus told these stories for? I've given you a little clue in how it all began. It began because there were people saying Jesus is mixing with the wrong kind of people. There are a number of things we can learn from this story. Firstly, God has a heart for the lost. The righteous of Jesus' day just didn't have a heart for the lost. They couldn't have cared less about the people that didn't know God. But God has a heart for the lost. Many Christians today don't seem to me to have a heart for the lost. Or sometimes we have a heart for the lost some days and then other days it sort of waxes cold and we forget about the lost and we get on with being ourselves and we don't worry too much about them. Sometimes we're like the elder brother. We get a little bit of a touch of, "Well, I'm saved And who are these people that are going round the cross and laying and whacking into other people? Well, we don't have a real heart for them. We wish they wouldn't do it. But do we ever care enough to want to share the gospel with them? The church is full of nice people. Have you ever noticed that? The church is a beautiful place to meet nice people. And I love it. I just love Sunday because I'm going to meet with a bunch of lovely people like you. And I get excited about it. It's a club for nice people. But is that enough? The problem is we can just so enjoy being members of a club that we forget about those who are not in it. A former Archbishop of Canterbury, that's in England, once said, "The church is the only organisation that exists for the benefit of its non-members." We're actually here for a job. We're here to let our light shine. We're here to be an organisation that searches for the lost. We're to be an organisation that is always wanting to welcome new people. But sometimes you can watch new people come to a church and stand on the edges because we're so excited to get outside and have a cup of coffee and a chat with our friends. New people that might be searching, we're not even noticing. What was the problem in Jesus' day is that people were like that as well. That's why he told these stories. He just didn't tell them because they're nice stories. He told them because they tell us about the love of God. They tell us that lost sinners are welcome. But he really was directing it at the religious people of his day. And there are great similarities between the Pharisees and the comfortable churches that we have today. Do not get too close to outsiders. Fill your life with church activities. And that'll be a good thing to be doing, kingdom work. Philip Yancey wrote a book called What's So Amazing About Grace. He tells the story in that of a prostitute who was with a young child and whose life had sort of reached rock bottom. And she was talking to a few friends wanting to get some help. And they said to her, "Why don't you go to church and look for help?" She said, "Church? What would I want to go to church for? They'd only make me feel worse than I already am." Something's happened in the 2,000 years of the church's existence because these kind of people found a friend in Jesus. And some of them don't think they'll find a friend in the church. You remember when our friend was here last year for the Compassion Man, I've forgotten his name. Tony Campolo. Remember, he was telling the story about having a party, a birthday party in a cafe in one of the countries he was visiting. And it was for the prostitutes, came there after work and had a late night coffee. And he wanted to talk to them. And he arranged for one of them the birthday party. And one of them said, "You're a minister. Where do you go to church?" They said, "Why?" "So we want to go to a church that is friendly toward prostitutes." It was such a rare thing. People want to come. We want people to come to a church, but sometimes we're just so nice, we sort of don't really have much to do with those who are not part of us. Do you have a love for the lost? Do you have a love for people of other races, other vocations, other ages, other education backgrounds, people who are difficult? Do you care about them? That's what this parable is really trying to encourage us to think about. God's love for the lost, secondly, is an active love. He just doesn't say, "I love the lost," and do nothing about it. He actually searches. Did you notice in the first parable, the man searched for his lost sheep? It's an active concern. Did you notice in the second parable, the lady searched for her coin? And do you know that in the third parable, That Jewish father went out regularly to the front mailbox to the road and looked down the road looking for his lost son to come home. He actually went to him. And in a very un-Jewish father-like thing, because Jewish fathers didn't go looking. They waited for their sons to come home. But this Jewish father, the Bible tells us, girded up his robes when he saw his son coming and ran toward him. That's a very un-Jewish thing to do. As I said, normally he would sit on the porch, and if the son came home, he would start tapping his foot and say, "Well, what have you got to say for yourself?" And make his son squirm a little. But this father goes running toward his son to embrace him. That's the active love that God has. So active that God sent his son to search for us. One of the old children's hymns puts it this way: "It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. I sometimes think about that cross and shut my eyes and try to see the cruel nails and crown of thorns and Jesus crucified for me. But even could I see him die, I could but see a little part of that great love which, like a fire, is always burning in his heart." The question these parables pose is that love for the lost a fire that's burning in your heart? Do you care? God's love was active and costly. Do you believe that some people are going to have a Christless eternity? Do you understand the depth of God's love? Does it bring you to tears when you see people in your family, in your workplace, in your street, who don't know Jesus? Do you actively love and search for the lost? Do you ever pray with or for somebody? Do you ever meet with any non-Christians? Do you ever give generously to support those who do and have that heart? Do we support our church's outreach? Do we agonize over lost souls? Oswald Sanders wrote a book some years ago called Soul Winner's Fire, and he tells a story about a man who was about to be executed, and the chaplain goes in to talk with him and explains the gospel. And the man looked at the chaplain and said incredulously, "Do you believe that? If I believed that, I would crawl all over all of England on broken glass to tell people." Is that what you would do with the gospel because you want to share it with people? Or can we become so members of a church that we forget about the lost? That's what these parables are all about. Do we ever deny ourselves and take up our cross and share the gospel? The third thing to notice here also is the joy for the lost. In each of these stories, there is great joy when something is lost and something is found. One sheep was valuable, but that was 1%. One coin was 10%. One son was 50%. We are of infinite worth to God. And we need to see that there is great joy in heaven. I don't know, sometimes people say there's a party in heaven today. I don't know what a party in heaven would look like, but all I know is the Bible says there was great joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. And if 62 people on Friday night indicated that they wanted to follow Christ or return to following Christ, there was great joy in heaven over that. One person. If you had one person that you prayed for and heard that they had come to know Jesus, would you not be filled with joy? That's nothing to the joy that they would be feeling in heaven when that person comes to know Jesus and comes to their heavenly Father. So that's why Jesus told these parables. He wanted those Pharisees and those religious people to have a heart for the lost. He wanted them to have an active love, as he had, going out and searching out. He could have had a very comfortable life in heaven, thank you very much. But he chose to come for us. We can have a very comfortable church membership. This is a great church to be comfortable in. The bigger the church, the more easy it is to be comfortable in it, in a way, isn't it? You can just quietly go about your business and come to church and do a little bit here and there. Nobody sometimes notices too much. But is that what God wants? A sheltered existence in the cozy clubhouse of our church. We need an urgency about winning souls, and we've got to keep each other at it. I'm preaching to myself here today, as well as to you. We need to just keep each other going at it and not getting so comfortable. God cares about the lost. What about you? Let me pray. Father, give us a heart, we pray, for those who do not know you. Those people who live around us, who work with us, who are part of our extended family, who do not name the name of Jesus and may even mock it. Lord, give us a love for them. Help us to have a heart for them. Help us to equip ourselves to be able to speak when often we don't know what to say. Help us to learn how to share our faith and have an active love and concern for the lost. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.